हरिः ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Description of Bhakti Yoga Process, page 22. Thus, apavarga means that which produces bhakti. No? Fourth time through. Fourth time's a charm.
Why not?
Okay. Anucheda 7. What is that knowledge of truth, tattva-jnana? The one verse illustrates this. Vedanti tattva-vidas. Tattvam yajjnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. The knowers of truth call this truth advayam jnana, the supreme conscious being, who is called Brahman by the jnanis, Paramatma by the yogis, and Bhagavan by the devotees. In pointing out that this highest truth is indivisible, advayam, with three elements being in oneness, is accepted that this highest principle possesses Shakti. Brahman refers to pure knowledge, kevala jnana, without manifestation of Shaktis. That doesn't mean there's not Shaktis there, they're just not manifest. Right? Paramatma refers to a portion of the Lord endowed with Chit Shakti and Maya Shakti and functioning as Antaryami. Bhagavan refers to the form that manifests all Shaktis completely. This was described in the previous three Sandarbhas. Right, so that's the Bhagavat Sandarbha, the Paramatma, and Krishna Sandarbhas. So they describe, so each Sandarbha is describing Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Right? This entity with three types of manifestation is produced directly by bhakti. Right? So depending on the devotion, depending on the mood, then the Lord manifests in these three forms. Right? So does that make sense? But it's by bhakti. So for the shantas, bhaktas, then the aspect of Brahman is the main. Like that. It means they understand, because we see in Bhagavat Sandarbha that the Brahman is seen in the context that it's the effulgence of Krishna, of the person. So they worship the person, but they appreciate the feature of how, you know, he is everything and everything's connected to him and all that kind of aspect. Does that make sense? Because you're just appreciating it's there. Does that make sense? There's not the aspect of the dynamic of the interaction. It's about the existence of it. So even actions exist, results exist, right? Does that make sense? Okay, let's try this. Sambandha Abhidayam Prayoja, right? So Sambandha or Sat Chit Ananda, right? So Sat's the existence. But you could be seeing the existence of existence. You could be seeing the existence of activities that generate results. And you can be aware of results that come from that knowledge and action like that, their existence. But they're not manifest. You understand? But you know these three.
Potential.
Yes. Yes. It's potential, or it's there, but you're not seeing the dynamic. You know what I'm saying? Like the pillar is here. It exists. You know? But we're not looking at the dynamics of how the energy is coming. It comes down from there, and the load goes to here, and then it goes down like this. Yes.
Also, it's mentioned that in the spiritual world, and the Brahman feature is manifested as the dham,
Yes.
and all the paraphernalia. And Paramatma future is that existence of that relationships between, you know, the Lord and the devotees and how he relates to everything.
Okay. Okay.
So then Bhagavan is the entire thing, interactions, and then how each devotee, what, how he interacts with Lord and all the rasas, the experience in that.
You have to take it through the taste. You can't just leave it.
No, but we are discussing on Brahman, so I just...
Oh, I see. Okay. Because we were in that.
Shatabhaktas. That's how they see on.
Okay.
The Dham, they are appreciating the Dham, they are appreciating the whole...
Means it's they're seeing how the Lord is expanded as everything and how everything is Him. That's the main feature. It's not that they don't see the other aspects. It's just like, let's see, the mother, it's not that she doesn't appreciate, you know, what he does with his friends or at school or other things like that, but it's seen in the context of her relationship with him as the son. So that's the main thing. And her son, you know, does things with her, which will be the more natural. Then there's other things, and then there's his, you know, positions and that. You understand? So it'd be that, let's say the son is the prime minister. The mother will see that as an aspect of sat. That's just his existence. Right? Then he may do so many things and he gets so successful, but the real thing is that the interaction she has with him and the taste gained from that. So, you know, then you have, if we take chit, then chit means then that knowledge of how to apply things in a practical way, and then practically applying it, practically getting a result. Right? So that's the mechanics of the whole thing, but it includes the result and the knowledge. But its central point is the action. The other, the sat, it's the existence, and the other two exist. This, the emphasis is on the activity. The other two are included, and then when we deal with ananda, then that means those existences and the relationships that there means then how they interact with Krishna in the pastimes based on affection, and then the love for Krishna. Right. So, in other words, I am Krishna's servant. I do activities for Krishna's pleasure. And therefore, him being happy is the goal. So one you're seeing from the existence, one you're seeing from the knowledge and action that it can, you know, with that knowledge, and one you're seeing on the experience from those three positions. Does that make sense? So Satchitananda, then it will have that aspect of that. You have Satchitananda as three aspects, but they're interacted. So you're seeing sat. You know, you're seeing Satchitananda from the perspective of sat, then you're seeing Satchitananda from the perspective of chit, and Satchitananda from the perspective of ananda. Right? So this is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about before, that you have the vaibhav, prabhav, and anubhav. Right? So the vibhava then will be the, you know, the situations that you're using. So you have the material world, spiritual, and the jivas. Right? So you can either work in spiritual consciousness or material consciousness. Right? The jivas, then they're performing the action. Right? And so then you have the prabhav, so you have the, what do you call it? Icha, kriya, jnana. Right? I have the knowledge of the activities, I perform the activities, and it's based on the desire. It's Krishna's desire that things work in a particular way. Does that make sense? You put the rug on the floor, not on the ceiling. Like that. But for fun, they put the rug on the ceiling. Right? That's where Duryodhana ran into the problem. You have this perfectly, you know, this little pond. You know, it's not much water. Perfect pond. How they made it and everything, you know, probably with a, you know, black stone or something like that. But it's in a place where they get no ripples. So there's no wind or anything. They hang a, you know, very bright, nice first class Persian rug on the roof. So that will reflect. So that means then they have to also have it so that the light and everything is there to get the thing. So he thinks it's a rug. So when he goes there confidently and steps there, you know, in another place they make a rug that looks like water. So he goes and, whoa, he goes around. Everyone else laughs. Then he thinks, oh, because it's a rug. Then the next room he goes through, it's not a rug, it is water. And so he falls in. And so then everybody's watching. You know, because you have the room, but you have on the, I don't know if you've seen in the old palaces, the wall goes up and the ceiling's there, and then there's a 45 degree angle. That's all jolly, the whole thing. All the way around. And so that is going into the inner quarters. So that means you can see anything that goes on in the room from that quarters. Because what annoyed him is not that he fell in the water and got wet, you know, and his cousins are there laughing. That's annoying, but you know, brothers always harass each other. That's the occupational duty, right? You don't harass your cousins. There's something wrong, right? But it's all the women laughing. That annoys him because he thinks he's a very, you know, prestigious person and, you know, he's very good with the ladies and stuff. They're laughing at him, then that completely destroys him. Because the other one, you just go over and punch him in the shoulder or something, you know, throw them into the pool. You know, that kind of, that's what you do with cousins, right? But the ladies were laughing.
Maharaj is showing how the whole Mahabharata world could have been avoided if he just laughing.
Yeah, well, yes, that means from his side there's there, but there's other, the other action is that those ladies there, right? And because the ladies then laughed, then Duryodhana then wanted to get Draupadi, you know, and also Draupadi told Sutta that you can't take part. You know, when he came up to, you know, like that, she said no.
You know? He also got the urge.
Yeah, so like that. So then they had like this, and then they insulted Draupadi. If they hadn't insulted Draupadi, then also there was no need. Means, or if they had a war, it wouldn't have been that bad. Ramana says when you insult a chaste woman, your dynasty is destroyed branch and root. Means there'll be nothing left. So that the war was that severe was because of there.
So it seems being resentful is kind of demonic.
Being?
Resentful.
Yeah, it means it doesn't, it's... It is because then you think I'm special. Because what is prestigious? What fell in the water? His body. You know, can the soul get wet? Soul is not, can't be moistened by water, burnt by fire, withered by wind. You know, and so therefore then it's not him. And so it's when we identify with the body, that's where all these things come up. Like we were discussing yesterday. Seeing of equality and all, it's based on the body. We want equality for the bodies. We're not saying for the souls. We'll say, it doesn't sound so bad, equal spiritual opportunity. But this equal spiritual opportunity is there. You know, the point is go back to Godhead. You know, if someone has a Shudra conditioning, he does Shudra work for Krishna, he'll go back to Godhead just as easily as that, you know, very, you know, Pukka Brahman who knows all the what do you call it? What's that shot? Nipuna, whatever it is. Sadharma Nipuna. Yeah, so one of those, and he engages all that in Krishna's service. It's just the same. It's not that the Brahmin will get a better position than the Shudra. It is equal opportunity. It means whatever you're doing, but it's not equal what it's doing, because if you're saying equal opportunity and everything has to be the same, then it should be, we should, you know, there should be discussion by the senior devotees exactly what everyone's going to eat and how much of it they have to eat. So, you know, it's like if it's four chapatis, everyone eats four chapatis. No one gets one more or one less. Otherwise, it's not equal. right? You know, what kind of subject, what this and that. So we just have to make it, you know, the GBC can just make a list that, okay, this is the menu and diet for the month and quantities and everything, you know, and they can also, if they want to, you know, be very thoughtful, they should also give the recipes and all that, you know, so that, because some people may not know the preparations and all that, you know. It's like, you know, how many people know how to make a quinoa salad, right? You know, something like that. So you have to give the recipe. Right? And then it would be equal, right? You know, everybody can wear the same clothes, same size, same everything. They tried it in China. Yeah, they do that. You know, if you're bigger, you have to roll up your, you know, your cuffs and your sleeves. If you're smaller and if you're bigger, then, you know, it only comes a little past your elbow and knees.
Yeah.
You know.
What about the shoe size?
Yeah. That, well, the trick on that, from what I learned from Charlie Chaplin, because he used the bigger shoes, is they won't stay on your feet. So what you have to do is reverse them, because they have a slight bend to them. So you put the left shoe on the right foot, the right shoe on the right, and that will give the tightness, so it'll stay on. So, yeah. Ah, when I would just cut the front so your toes stick out, you know, that would probably be the best.
You don't have toes, you have the shoe.
I mean the shoe, the toe of the shoe, not your toe and toes. Don't take it quite so literally, but
at least both will work, right?
Yeah, but the one might make it a little hard for, yeah.
Walking horses.
Hmm?
I'm there for walking horses.
Yeah. Or if you didn't want that because you didn't want your toes sticking out, you could cut the back and then stick your heel out. You know, you might have to put a strap on or something. But yeah, so that was, that's the position, is that you have these three visions of the same, because everything is, Krishna is Satchitananda. Everything expands from him. That means everything's in the context of Satchitananda, because it's him. But there's these three main features, you know, within Satchitananda. And it's unlimited energy, so within each one you can have so many fine points and like this. Because that's the thing, he says that there's the Dham is coming out of these things here. But that means it, because it's Bhagavan. So then on the platform of Ananda, then the Dham is manifesting from the Sat portion of that, of the aspect of that, right? The devotees, their relationship, their interactions, because they have the Rati. So that Rati defines the interactions. And then the Ananda is, you know, it's just for Krishna's pleasure. And then that reciprocation that's there. So you're seeing the same thing, because then you see Kriya, because everything's manifest from there. That's then how Krishna expands the creation and does everything like that. But ultimately it's based on his desire, Icha. Because of that, then Balaram manifests everything. But it's because of his desire it's manifested. And what is it manifested from? It's manifested from the existence. Have we gotten too far off the left field today?
No,
yeah, we're just showing is these are the features of Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti. So in other words, Brahman is the emphasis on Sat, Paramatma's on Chit, and Bhagavan on Ananda. But within each of those, you have the three. You know, and each of those three will have the three, and it goes on unlimitedly. So that way Krishna has, what is it, Parashya Shaktir? You can hide the Shri Yutay, means unlimited potencies, yes. Yes. Yeah.
You get the impression it's like almost like Krishna's happiness personified.
That feature. Because that's why then you see is that for us, then, you know, he's taking that form of, you know, Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan. Right? But that's within the Bhagavan feature.
Yeah.
So that's Braja Krishna. Then in Dwarka, it'll be the you know, the Satchitananda. It means those three, but it'll be more the Kriya aspect.
The Krishna view,
Yeah, Chaturvyuha, like that. yes, Shankarsham Pradyumnani, because from that we get, in other words, you're breaking down how Kriya works from there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then in the material world, then it'll be, you know, yeah. That means the existence of things because it exists. But it's unconscious, so therefore then it followed by following Krishna's laws and the relationships that are there based on that, then you can get a particular result. So we look at it from that point of view. And if we really, you know, stretch it, then we can get a little bit of the chit aspect, you know. But it's not actually, because we're not seeing it in context of Krishna. So we're still just, it's still just the knowledge of the material world. Because the existence of it, the knowledge of it, and the results you can get from that knowledge that knowledge and existence. You combine knowledge and existence and into dynamic, and you get a result. So that's what we see. So that's the whole thing. Everything's based on that. You know, and if we get real religious, then okay, God's the one who controls this. It's God's laws and all that. So we add in a touch of the Paramatma. But it's only in how much Paramatma helps in our karma. You know, if you pray to God, then you get, you know, things go nice. You get money, things go good. Your kids pass the exams, you know, like that. You know, your grandfather, you know, gets over his illness. And, you know, the cat comes back, it's been gone for 3 days. And, you know, all these things, you know. So it's all by God's grace, then your karma goes well. So they've added that touch of Paramatma, but they're still based in the material. Even you were saying, Mataji was saying the other day, that even within the Judaic aspect, is that they'll perform their good karmas, they'll go to heaven, but after a while they'll come back and then perform more here and go back. So it's variety.
Vacation.
Yeah, vacation. Yeah. So it's just. You tell them you'll come back. It says, yeah, we know. And then we'll do more stuff here. Then we'll go there. You know, it's a great place here. And it's even better there. You know, so it's neat. You know.
Sounds like Jenny coming.
Yeah. I'm sure that's kind of where it all comes from. I mean, you look at it. Abraham's father was a smarta. He had all the deities. He did all the worship and everything like that. And it wasn't just he had little pictures. He had, you know, proper sized deities. It must have had a huge place. I mean, generally kids that can walk out on that and just leave with nothing generally are from rich families, you know, ridiculously rich. They're the ones that can make that completely reverse. You know, like, what's his name? Siddhartha. So it's, you know, ridiculously, you know, Cain's family, everything like that, and then like that they can switch. It's maybe it's not easy for them to say, maybe. Because they don't have a doubt that something will be missing.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been a time where things weren't there. So then they have the faith, if I go out and renounce, all things will also be there. You know? You have that opportunity that you're not so worried.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some get really attached, they can't live without anything, you know. So then that's a problem. That could be the downside of it. And also at the same time, if someone's from a poor family, then this could be the downside, but they're always in anxiety for money. Or the other thing is they see that, you know, we have no money, but life goes on, so what are we worried about? And generally those are the best ones. So whether I'm talking about the best from the two. The worst from the two, I mean, many stories have been written about those groups. You know? You have to take the best of the two when you have the prince and the pauper. You know, otherwise it wouldn't work. So Cinderella, you know, Beauty and the Beast, you know, all the great classics. Okay, this entity with three types of manifestation is produced directly by bhakti. That's how we got into that. So depending upon bhakti, then they'll see these three features. So if you're seeing the Lord, you know, from Shantaras, that aspect, then you're going to see it specifically from the Brahman aspect, the Sat aspect, let's say. That'll be the main feature, but you're seeing the other two, you know, but that's the main, you know, and then by, you know, the reverence and all that will be the chit, right? And then Raja Krishna, that will be Ananda.
So they are just not so interested in this.
Sorry?
They are not so interested in this.
It doesn't get that far. They're satisfied in the ecstasy they get from thinking how Krishna is everything and how he does all these, you know, wonderful things. And, you know, the pastimes are there. They're happy to see, like Narada Muni comes and goes to all the palaces and sees everything. But it's about how great he is and how special he is. That's the ecstasy. Yes.
There is no possessiveness.
Yes, no possessiveness. There's no sense of possession. It's just, and there's no sense of vipralamba.
Because he's awesome.
Because he's everything.
Always.
You're always. There's a difference, of course, if you're with him. So they like to go see him. Like you see the four Kumaras are going to go see, you know, Vaikuntapati. You know, they're also Shanta. So at the time they were jnanis, so they'll see in that same light, it just doesn't have the devotion.
So it seems this non-possessiveness, they have been carrying this from, like, let's say, the Sarvas, so being non-possessive, they're kind of carrying it to the threshold of bhakti. You cannot be non-possessive of the Lord, so this is the mentality.
Yes, it's like...
Also, it's the 8 stages of Preeti. The first one is Rati. From Rati, it has to go to Prema. That's when you have the possessiveness, only if it turns to Prema. So that attraction is there. But then it didn't go to the, technically, the more
to
higher Rasa.
So they're higher just in Rati. So, I mean, if you look at on our stages, it would be at Bhava. But because for them, that's the end. Mm-hmm. Then it's part of Preeti. So you can say love of God, but it's not love of God on the platform of Prema. Because Preeti is all 8 levels. Mm-hmm. And so from that, their Shanta Bhaktas are on, they have love for God, because Rati means that attraction, love. But it doesn't come to the level of Prema. Prema then manifests different symptoms. It has greater intensity. So at that point then it moves to, like Guru is going to say, to the Dasya. You know, that's where it starts. Like that. But then, you know, and that generally, that'll be the how you say, majesty aspect. Right? But it's got that Dasya aspect. And then the other ones, then it takes on, then you're more interactive and all that. And so they can be in one flavor or the other. But you see, it's the fullest manifestation in Vrindavan is where it is that sense of possession in sweetness, then you'll see it there. If it's sense of possession in majesty, then it'll be Vaikuntha. Or those, you know, Vaikuntha or Mahavaikuntha, like Dwarka. So you have all 5 rasas, but it's still in majesty. Yes.
Also this aspect of how Shanta Bhaktas are there in spiritual world is because in the Vaikuntha Dham, then the Shantaras doesn't exist on its own. It takes shelter of Dasya, higher 4 rasas basically.
Mm.
There is no Shanta rasa on its own. It exists only in connection with Dasya rasa, supportive in Vaikuntha or in spiritual world. So that's why there is no anxiety that how it can even exist if it is not turned into that higher stage where there is some possessiveness.
So they're always supporting, like the cows. They're supporting the pastimes, and they appreciate these pastimes. They like going out with them. So they very much appreciate. But it's in support of. Does that make sense? So then you'll see.
Oh, that's very nice, because you want to be possessive of the world. You want to be loved.
Yeah, so those who are possessive, then those who are not, then they create the environment in which those who are not, then it becomes nice. Right? So in other words, you appreciate what's going. In other words, it's appreciation. So when devotees are doing things, it's appreciation. It's not that it just sits there in void and everyone floats around like that. It's always in the context of. So it in itself, like you're saying, it's dependent upon the dasya ras. Or the other rasas, the possession. it can be experienced through that. Because what are they going to be looking at? You know what I'm saying? They're going to be looking at the dynamic pastimes of possession. And they're appreciating that.
So, yeah, this possessiveness also would have appreciated very much what he's saying in the Gopis.
Yes.
It's such a high level.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just the possession gets more and more.
And it's interesting, in Shanti practice, the Anubhavas are not particularly inclined towards the Gopis, and they're not particularly angry at the demons. So it's interesting to
Because they just see everyone as servant to the Lord. You know, but if you're going to be interacting, you know, nicely, it'll be with the devotees. And with the others, you just don't worry about it. It's just on what they are. If they're other jnanis, then you can discuss, you know, jnani stuff. And that's how, like in Tapaloka, they could be devotees or they could just be jnanis. But the platform's the same. For those top jnanis, Vijnanamoy, and the devotees of Shantaras, the field is the same. But it's just whether you see beyond that Brahman platform and see Bhagavan, or if you just solely see that and maybe a little bit of Paramatma.
Yeah, so Bhaktirasamrita distinguishes between these two. It's tapomaya, some technical word.
That's right.
And then there are bhakti, those are in spiritual world as Shanta Bhaktas. So though seemingly they use the same techniques, it's very different how both of them see the whole picture. Mm-hmm. As in spiritual world, they are appreciative of devotees only with the devotees, and they see only in the light of, you know, their higher class as devotees. And in the material world, those who are in the Brahman there, then they don't need to see in that way. They only see Krishna's Shakti as like the all-pervading.
Yeah, because they don't go beyond.
So unless the shift happens, then.
Yeah, so that's the whole thing. When they smell, because they're already on that transcendental platform, the Kumaras, but when they smell the Tulsi, the Lord's Lotus Feet, then they see that there's an Ananda beyond what they're getting. So that takes them into the realm of bhakti. Because they went to see the Lord. They weren't just happen to be going by and say, hey, what's this place? Let's check it out.
That's very interesting. They went to see the Lord, but they were technically still not.
They were Brahmavadis. Because Brahmavadis, they see the variety. It's all Brahman. So the oneness is everything is Brahman. This idea, Mayavad, is a completely made up, bogus philosophy. It has no substance. Because they're saying it doesn't exist. What do you mean it doesn't exist? If it doesn't exist, you don't exist. So why are we even talking? Go back to your room, close the door. You know. In fact, we'll lock it from the outside. You know, so it's completely made up. It's just the last excuse on how to be God. So that's why those who actually merge in Brahman, means there was one that Gopu Kumar saw in Mahakalapura that emerged in Brahman. Those aren't Mayavadis. There won't be one Mayavadi. They can be there. Only Brahmavadis can be there. Because they are not offensive to the Lord. They see the Lord. It means if it's, you know, they see it all on that same transcendental platform. So therefore the Lord is the supreme. Otherwise, why is it the Brahmavadi is in the womb of his mother? He doesn't come out. Well, what's the difference between inside and outside? You know, but then outside, then you have the problem of you could get distracted by material energy. So when the Supreme Brahman comes and says, no, that won't happen, then he says, okay. Yes?
Going back to spiritual world, and then, for example, ask about Mahabharatas, but in personal wisdom of Brahmana tradition, they also need to
meet devotees, yeah. Because it's just like, how do you get yogurt? is it, you have to put, you have milk, you put some yogurt already in it, it becomes yogurt by association. So without that touch of the devotional side, where does it come from? Because it's the chit potency.
Is it impersonal? Do they need to move the person in a different position? I mean, how about
it? It depends on where they want to get to. See, is that it's like Prabhupada explains that you have 2 + 2 = 4. So it doesn't matter if you're Hindu, Muslim, you know, Christian, anything. It doesn't matter. It's the same. So the absolute truth and that not is the same. This is just different ways of expressing it. The problem is because we work on the externals, people look at only the externals. Just like, are we supposed to surrender to God? Is that what we're supposed to surrender? Is that the position? The soul should surrender to God. Recognize God's supremacy, surrender, right? Okay. So now in the Vedic practices, and they you know, whatever it is, let's say for example, they go to the temple. Right? Like that. And in the temple they'll offer obeisances, this, that, they'll have their different prayers. So all throughout the day they're doing things. Right? Then in the Mohammedan, then they're going to 5 times a day offer their namaz, right? Like that. But in between, then they may do more. Some may think of God more in between, but many don't. So at least 5 times a day. Muhammad kind of going to be at least 5 times a day you should remember God. Right? You know, Christians then, okay, before they eat, they'll say grace. Before they go to bed, they'll say some prayers. You know, once a week they go to church. And in between, if there's some problems, then they might pray. You know what I'm saying? And some who are more, some traditions, then they might go for a program every evening or on Wednesdays or, you know, some special things like that, the special help. So you have some way of dealing like this. Does that make sense? You know, so there's some way that you're going to express that surrender. Does that make sense? So, as long as the principle of actual sad-dharma is being applied, it doesn't actually matter which system you're using. Right? But the point is you have to be absorbed. So, since you don't have, like we're saying, for example, here, in the Christian or Mohammedan, something about how to always be absorbed means external techniques to help you always be absorbed in the Lord. But we find in the Vedic literatures they have. Like how to see God connected with everything. I haven't seen that in the Christian or that I know of in the Mohammedan. But in Judaic, when you get into very orthodox, they have a prayer for basically everything. Anything you see, they say a prayer. Like you're walking along, you see a person who, you know, has a walking on crutches. There's a prayer. You see someone you've never seen before, you know, a guest, there's a prayer. There's, you know, it's just, there's for everything. So just, they just like this. But then in doing that, it keeps them busy, but it doesn't necessarily make for great social interaction. Means those particular individuals are not famous. Means they make nerds look like Shah Rukh Khan. No, Shah Rukh Khan. What do you call it? What's it? Who's the? You know, somebody, you know, who's very, you know, or what is it? Lawrence of Arabia, or, you know, somebody who's, you know, very, or Casanova. No, all wrong ones. You know, in other words, someone who's very good socially and everybody likes them, they're very gregarious and everything like that. They make nerds look like that. You know? So it's just, everything has its, for the particular mentality of the people, you have to do something. You know what I'm saying? And so therefore, that's why they have their particular clothes, their this, their that, and everything like that. Does that make sense? You know.
There are a few saints who paid the tapasyas a long time, and who told that they obtained vision of God as a bright light. As they really
They may, but the point is you're supposed to be able to maintain that they saw the nice, but then they have to maintain it. So the point is you want to follow those this wind hasn't been blowing.
Hey,
I'm just saying it's because here you're having, there's no clouds, it's not a storm or anything, it's just a wind blowing. Okay, it's going to get winter this coming.
It's a new connotation.
Robert knew what he was talking about, right? Was it Robert? No. Well, Robert was the other guy. The Stark Waller?
Yes, fortunately for what name?
Yes, fortunately. Yes, that's the exact point. Fortunately. Even more fortunate is forgetting the guy who wrote the book.
No, we didn't really know.
Oh.
I mean, I saw his picture.
Yeah, I'm just saying when we forget the picture, that's even better.
I'm seeing the picture.
Hmm?
I'm seeing the picture.
Yes. That would be pretty good. On your computer, you know, something like that, a picture comes up of a guy you don't like, you know, and you can push a button on the computer that says unsee. And then it just disappears from your mind. Yeah, cool. Oh, yeah. But then you still see something. Okay. So does that make sense? Because the thing is maintaining. But the point is they got there. But how did they get there? You said they got through austerities. They got through giving up sense gratification, through giving up attachment to wealth and social positions. They got up all the things that the Vedic literature say. So they're following the principles of Saddharma. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's in that particular way that they're going about it. And so they're getting the result. But the difficulty comes down is that only by doing it in that way, then they're getting some benefit and can they maintain it. Right? Because they are living entities. So the Satchitananda aspect has to be dealt with. So then they will come back. So you have to have a system where even in your regular day-to-day activities you can be completely transcendental. So therefore what the Vedic literatures are talking about is just a more efficient system. Right? You know, because these personalities have come and explained, but they explain as far as the people can appreciate. But then you have people like Arjuna, you have people like Uddhava, you know, I have all these great personalities, you know, Vidura. And so you can explain the system much deeper, much more technical, and you can get much further results. It's the same thing. It's just like if you say, okay, is eighth grade, is that, education? It is, but it's not as far as 12th grade, which is not as far as an undergraduate. It's not as far as a postgraduate. You know what I'm saying? There's just different levels that you're going through. But it's the same knowledge. You know what I'm saying? It's just you can do more with it. It's the same numbers, it's the same letters. You know what I'm saying? When you study geography in fourth grade, you know, London's in the same place as if you're studying it as an undergraduate. It's not that it changes. Does that make sense? You know, so you find out, well, actually England is, and then that's Hobbiton is there, but actually it was shot in New Zealand, so actually then it shifts to New Zealand. No, it doesn't. Does that make sense? Yeah. No. Does that make sense? Or what's it? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say you're studying, or like that, you're studying geography at the lower level, and you're just studying, let's say, okay, like that, Asian geography. Right? The cities are all in one place. Now let's say in your undergraduate degree, you're doing a thing in, let's say, sociology and all that, and you're studying also the same geography of the cities, but now they're still in the same place. The latitude, longitude doesn't change. But you're looking at it in a deeper way. And first it's just, here it is. The other one, you're looking, okay, what kind of people are there? What do they do? How do they... You know, so it's the same thing. Nothing changes. So the same point of surrendering to God, trying to live a pure lifestyle, and giving in charity, you know, not being attached, not being proud. These things remain. They don't change. It's just that the way you express that is slightly different. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, in India, in South, the ladies don't cover their head as a tradition. But the mood they have, there's no energy. They do not put any energy into their hair or the head of that. They just, it's just existing if they go out. Right? North, they don't do that. How they are in the house is how they are in that. They pull in a little bit, but it's still there. So they cover their head. So depending upon the nature of the people, you have that they do or not. You know what I'm saying? So it's just what works. But it's the same principle as there is to create that shyness, and so others also then don't overextend their interest. Does that make sense? Okay. Tach tradadhana muneo jnana vairagya yuktaya pashant yatmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grihitaya. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service after hearing from Guru. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.12 Udriti Srimad Bhagavatam. The absolute truth is realized in full by the process of devotional service to the Lord, Vasudeva, or the personality of Godhead, who is the full-fledged absolute truth. Brahman is his transcendental bodily effulgence, and Paramatma is his partial representation. As such, Brahman or Paramatma realization of the absolute truth is but a partial realization. There are four different types of human beings: the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, and the devotees. The karmis are materialistic, whereas the other three are transcendental. The first class transcendentalists are the devotees who have realized the Supreme Lord, Supreme Person. The second class transcendentalists are those who have partially realized the plenary portion of the absolute person. And the third class transcendentalists are those who have barely realized the spiritual focus of the absolute person. So we see it's always in the context of the person. This is descending. So there's the person, then there's the localized aspect of the person, then the focus. That was interesting. Spiritual focus of the person. Like that. It's interesting also, these three are transcendentalists and this is materialistic. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. We have already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from mundane association. Right, so that point of knowledge and detachment is there, and you'll see as anyone, like you were mentioning before, who is advancing on that impersonal platform or in some way has some realization of God, you'll always see that they always have more knowledge and more detachment. It's just the way it is. It's just like, it means you look at it. It means you have some wallah, right? And he's being groomed, actually, to be the next pharaoh. Right? He has the qualification and knowledge in administrative ability, in character, everything. Everybody likes him. Except his brother. Yeah. But then, because of his knowledge and detachment, he's able to leave all that and just be a guy who, you know, herds sheep.
Closer to nature.
More natural. Yes. It was all the organic mana that they were eating. Right? That was
it started there.
Yeah, okay, so the natural food freak started then. Yeah, or like we said before, Abraham, you know, from a very good, you know, at least local Brahmin, priestly family, and then he's able to go out and again herd sheep. So this is something about sheep, like that. Also, Muhammad, did he herd sheep? Yeah, so something. So that's the common point between all the Abrahamic religions, is they all herd sheep. Herd sheep. Okay. Yeah.
What? They don't really do it.
Okay. Well, those ones that live in the hills and have them, they're Muslims. Okay.
Jews trade. Jews trade the wool.
They trade everything.
No, but they figured out that you get more from trading the wool. But you have, here's another thing that's there. You have the Abiras, when they herd goats and sheep. So they're considered Vaishyas, but there's that touch of Brahminical. So if it's a Brahmin father and a Vaishya mother, you get an Abhira. So therefore, they're out herding sheep, but they're all thinking about all this lofty philosophy and everything like that.
Plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah, plenty of time. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so it works.
It's like a taxi driver in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're really far out, isn't it? That's the only place I think they're like that.
In the Bible, it song of the songs of King Solomon, and he also described God as a sheep here or a cow here, and not more just here, because his occupation is a
Shepherds. Yeah, yeah. It means there's three levels of the Vaishyas. The one is cows. The second is buffaloes. Third is, you know, sheep and goats. So, you know, it's not that they all don't have some of them, but it's just prominent. Like Nandava is basically cows. There are buffaloes. It mentions that there's buffaloes. You know, the buffalo guys will have some cows. Everybody has some sheep, but it's just the Abiras, that's the main thing.
They love beef.
See, that's connected with Nila Madhava, the sovereign state pigs. So they do all have a connection. But you have to herd something, you know, like that. And that's the problem, is that if they're too intellectual, you can't herd them. It's like cats.
Yes,
right?
Yes,
exactly.
There is a sense that I'm shepherding to the human souls or something.
Shepherd of human souls. I don't know. It sounds like something Rabindra Sarupa would say. You know, because he has that kind of, you know, classic. Yes, the shepherds of souls.
That's when Jesus went to the his disciples, and they were fishing, the fishermen. So he told them, come with me, I will make you. You won't catch fish and you will catch people.
So okay.
They'll preach, they'll get the soul.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying. So. The only one I could see saying it in the contemporary time would be in the school. Well, you see, he knows all those things. I remember once he was the only one to understand what I said. I saw an old Oxford Dictionary.
Joy.
Oh, okay. Is that right here? It's over. Is that on the mic? Or? Okay. But, you know, you have disgruntled. But there it had the word gruntled. Gruntled just means happy, satisfied. Disgruntled means not satisfied. So then after feeding the... he was GBC, or he still is, right? You know, and at lunch, he's not retired.
Emeritus.
Emeritus. Yes, another one for him. So he was sitting, and after the meal, because I guess some others there, there's with him, so I asked him, so, are you gruntled? And he's saying, well, yes, you know, and he really much appreciated that, you know, he had used the word in a unique way, and he was very happy.
So the question then is, we know you can be overwhelmed, and you can be underwhelmed, but can you ever just be whelmed?
Whelmed, yes.
Is that a word?
I would expect you can, just people don't use it. But if you're whelmed, it means it's just a standard. Yeah, or it's just standard. It's what you expect. Overwhelmed is beyond what you expect. Underwhelmed is like less than what you expect. Whelmed means it's up to the standard, and you're good. You know?
Content.
Yeah, content. So, yeah, you can be whelmed.
Good enough.
Good for me, yeah.
Because happiness is overrated.
Yes. So better to be whelmed than overwhelmed. Because after you become overwhelmed, then the next time you'll be underwhelmed. So whelmed is more. Whelmed is sustainable.
Yeah.
Being whelmed is sustainable. Okay.
I guess that's what
Moonies
do.
Yes, basically that. Moonies are whelmed.
Yeah, well, no, but I was also saying that that's what they do when they discuss. Oh. You know, they start from those topics, go higher and go lower again.
Just analyze everything.
Because they're content, they don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, there's no schedule. No. I mean, other than the standard, your Sundays and this and that. But that just naturally comes along because you feel like doing those things at those times. When a Sunday comes, you want to get up and move and do something.
Because only those people can get up to those discussions.
Are you looking up Will?
It actually means engulf, submerge, or bury. So it's not quite what we expected.
Engulf, submerge, or bury. But it could also be engulfed, submerged. Means you're absorbed in.
Overwhelmed would be too much. Overwhelmed would be not enough.
So I guess maybe you're not fully submerged or you're overly submerged.
Underwhelmed.
Underwhelmed means that, I mean, at least
not impressed.
You know, you expected something to be, you go there, and you're underwhelmed, yeah. And you're overwhelmed means it's like you don't know what to say. It's so much more than what you expected.
Underwhelmed, I heard.
Yeah, underwhelmed is also.
Yes.
So yeah. We have to go back to the to see what's the meaning.
Yes.
The problem is that means we have to go back to Latin.
Yeah. Then does it show at the bottom where whelmed, what's the root?
No, but he just found the reference and why I asked that. He was in a movie, it was a loose adaptation of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew.
A loose adaptation?
Yeah. In other words...
It wasn't Taming the fully.
No.
It was
loosely, you know, just like West Side Story is from...
Oh, okay.
And so someone said it there, and so I was trying to sound like I made it up and be smart, but I somewhere else.
Yeah. I've heard it a long time ago. Maybe that's where we're quoting from that.
It was in 1800 at first, it was much. Now it is not
even. But well. Yeah, some of these words, but if we go back to Old English, just like everything's there. Because they just go from the dhatus and then build. Everyone knows how to build the words. You learn the grammar, so then, you know, and by association, you're like a kid, you know, he grows up in a family that speaks Sanskrit, you know, and then later he learns all the different things so he can make all the words, whatever you want to say.
Even at school, we learn that. Because you have the word, but Russian is difficult. You never know, so there was a word that you could check. Because the word that was easier to understand which letter should be there, that's how you check, that's the doctor.
Okay.
And then that's how we learn, but not anymore. Because the grammar is hard to guess, you have to know the rule.
Yeah, they drop the grammar, and then it will become, I don't know, a real mishmash.
It's hard to understand what people are saying, what they mean.
Yeah. They still teach the grammar in Bulgaria?
They do teach Russian.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily connected. It's you're not building on the... I mean, they try to say it's building on the grammar, but the problem is the language changes and then it adjusts.
For example, this the that we forget in English. In Bulgaria, it's the end of the word.
The.
Yeah, it's at the end of the word, and depending on whether it is the person who is doing the activity, or it's not, then it's different. It's there, it has two different forms.
Oh.
It's complicated. Many people don't get it.
Okay, so
there are three different those, depending on if it's masculine, feminine, or neuter.
Yeah. In?
Masculine, feminine, or neuter.
Yeah. Das. Das. Das.
Yeah, der, die, and das.
Der, die, and das. So das is neutral?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like a car is das also.
Das Kapital.
Yeah. That's interesting. So the da is means it's the suffix of the word or it's said after the word?
It's said. So it's part of the word, depending whether
So it would be Bhakti Vedanta Academy Da.
Yeah.
And so then you guys, because you are making it happen, that would be different from the other people who are just talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be the full one if it's the person who is doing the action. But if it's not, if it's something else, then it will be short.
So what's the longer one?
So you're saying sitting on the chair, what's the word for the chair with the...
So stol is chair, and then stolet.
Stolet.
It's always put. Oh, this is the full one, or if it's the short one, it's stolet.
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 Stolet. Isn't there something like that? There's a birthday, the Russian birthday song, also something like that. Stola, or something.
Stola is cake.
Yeah, there's something about that. You always see when they bring out the cake, then they all go Stola.
Oh, sometimes
there's
cake. Oh, it's
like
100. Huh? Stola is 100. They
push it to 100. Oh, okay, 100, okay, yeah. Because I remember seeing that in some of them, they all start that. What are those?
It's
as complicated as Sanskrit. You put in the same effort, but you don't get the benefit of understanding Sanskrit.
It's very complicated.
So wouldn't it be better just to learn Sanskrit?
With you, they would.
Yeah.
It's the karma.
Yeah.
I read this one for the story about the frustration of the English-speaking person who's trying to learn Russian. And then it goes like, it's supposed, according to the logic, it goes with perfect, and then something else happens, you know. It's not according to logic, but it's according to the rule. And then he tries to figure it out, and then he comes again to something in frustration. It's not possible.
Yeah, tell him to learn Sanskrit.
Probably, yeah.
Be better. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, the Supreme Person is realized by devotional service, which is backed by full knowledge and detachment from material association. We have already discussed the point that devotional service is followed by knowledge and detachment from material association. So it's backed by and it's followed by. So in other words, knowledge and detachment is secondary to bhakti, and it's also produced by bhakti. So if you're willing to learn the knowledge and be detached, then by engaging in devotional service, you'll get knowledge and detachment. But you have to be willing for it. Just like you surrender to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates. As Brahman and Paramatma realization are imperfect realizations of the Absolute Truth, so the means of realizing Brahman and Paramatma, i.e., the paths of jnana and yoga, are also imperfect means of realizing the Absolute Truth. Right? So this then goes back to what Gaudiya says, you know, before, what about all these other religious systems and philosophies? They may get you to that, but that's only a partial understanding of the Absolute. If you want to know the full, it has to be through bhakti. So, is the methods that these philosophies and religions are using, does it enhance bhakti? If it does, then great. And if it doesn't, it only enhances karma and jnana. Then it should see is that these have to be added. Because if it's not there, where do you get it from? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say you're eating a preparation, and it doesn't have enough salt. So by putting salt, it's not that preparation anymore. Does that make sense? So it's just like if they don't have chanting the holy names, you add chanting the holy names. What's the problem? Does that make sense? Because you have this. Christians, I don't know that they have a name for God. I'll always say that. What is
Yahweh?
It?
There are a few in the Bible, but one's Yahweh.
But do they chant it?
No.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, well, they're getting from there.
They just call him like Heavenly Father and Dear Lord.
Yeah, so there may be something like that. Then like that. And, you know, well, Muhammad, and they have 99 names.
I'm saying the categories of names. Jamal and Jamal. Jamal means names of beauty, and Jamal means names of magic.
Names of
magic.
Beauty and majesty. Beauty and
majesty. Beauty and majesty. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So then it's like that. So the little. Yeah. We picked up a few more. Probably picked it up from the Iranians.
Upon the Sufis.
Yeah. Well, because they're even farther over, of course, in the East. Because they had in Persia, then, you know, Iran, then originally they would have been following the worship of the sun and all that. And that would have been down Sumerians and everything like that. So they kept some of those. The others, then they just completely throw everything out. So it doesn't get any better. It means you have those things. Instead of purifying what's already there, you throw it all out, then you have to start again. You know? Just like the Christians, you already have a 3,000-year-old tradition, they throw that out and then they start again. You know, and then 1,000 years later they throw that out again and then start all over. You know, so it's just Vedic says, no, take what's there, take the essence, leave the parts that aren't important. Again, new age?
Fresh.
Okay. Devotional service, which is based on the foreground of full knowledge combined with detachment from material association, and which is fixed by the oral reception of the Vedanta Sutra, is the only perfect method by which the seriously inquisitive student can realize the Absolute Truth. Right? Yeah. Devotional service is not, therefore, meant for the less intelligent class of transcendentalists. Right? So in other words, the devotional service is not for those who are only interested in Brahman or Paramatma. It's meant for those who are, you know, interested in what's beyond in Bhagavan. So that's what it's for. But even if you add it, they will get more from what they're doing, and there's a chance by association they will go farther. They will be attracted to go up. The sincere devotee must, therefore, be prepared to hear the Vedic literature like the Upanishads, Vedanta, and other literatures left by the previous authorities or Goswamis for the benefit of his progress. Without hearing such literatures, one cannot make actual progress. And without hearing and following the instructions, the show of devotional service becomes worthless, and therefore a sort of disturbance in the path of devotional service. Unless, therefore, devotional service is established on the principles of Shruti, Smriti, Purana, or Pancharatra authorities, the make show of devotional service should at once be rejected. An unauthorized devotee should never be recognized as a pure devotee. By assimilation of such messages from the Vedic literatures, one can see the all-pervading, localized aspect of the personality of Godhead within his own self constantly. This is called samadhi. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.12 purport. Yes, so then it can't be taken as pure devotional service. And so we're looking for pure devotional service. We may not be pure devotees, but we're looking for and following the footsteps of pure devotees. Right? So we want to hear about that. So hearing about that, you know, you don't have to do this or that, or not so this. These things are then, these are discussions of those who are not pure devotees. We don't want to know the standard. Then how do I apply that standard in my position that's not quite up to the standard? So what's the essence? What am I trying to gain that I can apply in my life? You know, that has to be there. Not that, these external forms that you're using that are not of standard, that's all right. You know, just on its own. No, it's the principle is there. Add the principle to it. You'll get purified. Then you'll start to see is that lower detail is not important with time as you go up the steps. And like we said, somebody is eating any old nonsense, but you tell them how everything is by the grace of God that you're getting it. So we have to acknowledge God in that process. So then if based on that, you know, and with devotion towards God, that person starts to thank God for his food, he'll get purified in his association with the devotees. Then he'll start to see is that since I'm offering to God, wouldn't it be better to offer things God is comfortable with eating? Right? And so then you make the step up. Not that, oh no, it doesn't matter, you just stay wherever you are. So that's what it's saying. It's not pure devotee. It's an unauthorized devotee should never be recognized. So this is unauthorized. The authorized is the principle has to be there. You may be using a lower grade detail, but if the principle's not there, how can you call it bhakti? Or progressive. Yes.
So in this context, that scenario where someone's throwing out the tradition and just pretty much doing whatever they want to do, wanting to be in life. Since there's no knowledge or detachment there, would they not even be transcendentalists or just pretty much harmless?
There might be some, it depends upon what it is. If they're thinking God conscious, there might be some bhakti mr. karma there, okay. Bhakti mr. jnana. You just have to see how far it takes, because we see is that even in doing, you're dealing with that particular local people, then they're, it's just like, let's say, with hindsight. The people could understand, it'd be like, let's say, with Buddha, Lord Buddha. People are doing yajnas based on the Vedas, but they only see it in the context of animal sacrifices.
Right.
And Buddha's trying to say, you don't need that. And they say, no, but it's authorized. So they won't listen, so he has to separate it and start something they can relate to. You know, you see the same with Abraham. They're following these traditions. They probably at this time don't know what they're talking about. They've been detached, separated too much or something. And so then you can't explain to them about the one Supreme Lord. So then you have to separate from that and just start with that point. You know? But here is that then Lord Chaitanya's came and showed very nicely how you can do that. Apply it wherever you're situated, but you don't have to throw out the form of the original. You take the essence, and then as is useful, then you apply it. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Joshua Prabhupada.